जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधमाधव जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन बालब गिरिबरधारी, जय चाचरनंदन ब्रज जननंदन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जननंदन यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन बालब गिरिबरधारी, गोपीजन बालब गिरिबरधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधम जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधमाधव गोपीजन बालब गिरिबरधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Balabha, Radha Balabha Shiradhe. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnu Bhat Paramahansa Sri Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Ballabha Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gaurinitya Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6. Chapter 18, text 50. No chista sprishta salila. Sanjayam mukta murdaja. Anachita samyatavak. Na samvita bahischare. No chita sprishta salila. Sanjayam mukta murdaja. Anachita samyatava. Na samvita bahischare. No chita sprishta salila. Sanjaya mukta murdaja. Anachita samyatava. Na samvita bahischare. Someone else? Nochista sprishta salila. Anachita samyatabak. Na samvita bahis charet. Vaishnavi. Nortishta sprishta salila. Sanjaya mukta murdaja. Anachita samyatava. Na samvita bahischaded. Nortishta sprishta salila. Sanjaya mukta murdaja. Anachita samyatava. Na samvita bahischare. Na not uchista after eating. Asprishta salila without washing. Sanjayam in the evening. Mukta murdaja with the hair loose. Anachita without ornaments. Asamyatavak without being grave. Na not asamvita without being covered. Bahi outside. Charet should go. Translation: after eating, you should not go out to the street without having washed your mouth, hands, and feet. You should not go out in the evening or with your hair loose, nor should you go out unless you are properly decorated with ornaments. You should not leave the house unless you are very grave and sufficiently covered. Purport: Kashyapa Muni advised his wife not to go out onto the street unless she was well decorated and well dressed. He did not encourage the mini skirts that have now become fashionable. In Oriental civilization, when a woman goes out onto the street, she must be fully covered so that no man will recognize who she is. All these methods are to be accepted for purification. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is fully purified, and thus one remains always a transcendental to the contamination of the material world. Nochitash prishta salila sanyayam mukta murdaja anachita samyata vak anachita samyata vak nasamvita bahischarit. After eating, you should not go out to the street without having washed your mouth, hands, and feet. Should not go out in the evening or with your hair loose, nor should you go out unless you are properly decorated with ornaments. Should not leave the house unless you are very grave and sufficiently covered. So the Kashyapa Muni is advising his wife how to perform the yajna. This yajna pumsavana yajna. This particular yajna is meant to please the Supreme Lord. Now, she was very resentful to the devas, especially Indra, who had come and went to Lord Brahma complaining, had arranged that her sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she, indirectly, she blamed Indra. As far as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is beyond the world. But she was thinking he was beckoned by the devas, headed by Indra. So she had that resentment to Indra, and now she pleased her husband and served her husband Kashyapa Muni, a very great rishi. She pleased and served him very nicely. He was very satisfied with her, and then she asked him for a blessing that she may get a son that was powerful enough to kill Indra. So Indra, of course, a very powerful deva, the king of the gods, very, very powerful, who can kill Indra, certainly not any ordinary mortal man of the earth, what to speak of other devas. He is so powerful, so who can kill? So therefore she knew, being intelligent, she knew that it had to be a very, very special son who would come to be powerful enough to kill Indra. So she asked her husband. She knew also that her husband was very powerful, Rishi. He could grant desires because of his advanced, elevated position. And misting, we were just reading, I think, in Sydney, was Kadama Muni and Devahuti, Kadama Muni, by his mystic cities, created aerial mansion that could fly through the sky, and he took his wife on so many pleasure trips. He was just a rishi, a poor rishi living in the forest, just very simply, but because he was now married to Devahuti, he thought that to make something nice for her. So he used his mystic powers to be able to create that situation. So Kashyapa Muni, also very, very advanced, Kashyapa is one of the direct sons, if I remember correctly, one of the direct sons of Lord Brahma. And so he had a very elevated position. And really, so therefore, Diti was like the auntie of Indra, in one sense, in that social sense. So she was, because Kashyapa and Indra, and there was all that relationship there. But nevertheless, she was resentful, and so much so, and must have been burning within her, that she wanted to kill Indra. Sometimes, you know, you get overwhelmed, even in the higher planetary systems. They are mainly in the mode of goodness, but sometimes the ignorance and the passion becomes overwhelming. And also, you know, in the back of all this, there may be some hand of the Supreme Personality of God. These are beings from the higher planetary systems. Some new bhakta asked me that when we were reading about sometimes these transgressions of great demigods like Indra. Indra became so angry on the residents of Vrindavan that he wanted to have them killed for not performing his puja. Indra puja. Now just imagine Lord Indra gets so many pujas every day. And just a small... A band of people in Vrindavan that decided, talked into it by little Krishna, not to do the Indra Puja, but to worship the Govardhan. So he was so incensed, so angry, that he, you know, Samvartaka clouds, he called for the Samvartaka, which are meant for the pralaya, for the destruction of the universe. So he called these, he just, and with lightning, and you know, you read, we just had the Govardhana Puja recently. So you could say, overreaction. Overreaction. Some group of cowherds didn't do one puja to him. Of course, it was an annual thing. It was a big affair. But nevertheless, he gets so many. So he is the king of heaven. Now, these demigods, they know all things also because they're empowered to see all things. They knew. He knew. So he thought it was a very impudent and very disrespectful, and they should be punished. Well, all right, but punished to death? There's punishment and there's punishment. And he thought, I have to punish them to death because there's some Samvartaka clouds and the wind, and that is meant for the killing people. And so so he was like that. So he had to get his reaction. He was, Krishna saved the day. And Lord Indra came and was very apologetic and bowed down before the Lord, so he was excused, and Krishna saved them. But so these are rishis, rather getting to the point of someone overreacting. So it seems here that Diti, she is overreacting, wanting to get a son. And so we earlier on at Kashyapa Muni was very... very distressed that he'd been asked this by his wife. But because she pleased him and he promised her any blessing because she satisfied him by a pleasant way and her service. He promised her any blessing, and then when she came to ask for it, then she asked for that. I want you to bless me that I may have a son to be able to kill Indra. So he was very distressed about that, because he knew this is a very wrong thing, that to give the blessing to have Indra killed. I remember the story of who was it, the Ritrasura, was it, or Rikasura, one of the Rikasura, the one who wanted to, was worshipping Lord Shiva, and with Yagya and everything, but Lord Shiva didn't appear, and then he started to cut off his own pieces of flesh from his own body to offer in the Yagya. Still Lord Shiva didn't appear. I think that was Vrikasura. I remember many years before we did that drama here, we organized the drama of Vrikasura. And I was the Vrikasura. I remember playing Vrikasura. So then where there was big yagya, fire, everything like that, mantras, still Lord Shiva wasn't coming. So then he was cutting off, to go more extreme, to bring Lord Shiva, cutting off pieces of flesh, throwing them. Then he was prepared to cut his own head. He was so much in the mode of ignorance to get what he wanted. And he placed his head like that, ready to chop it. Then Lord Shiva appeared. There's, what do you want? And then I want to have the power that anyone I touch on the head, his head will break in a million pieces like that. So Lord Shiva, he granted that request. You can do. And then he started to, why go to others? Let me just run after Lord Shiva. So he was chasing Lord Shiva all over the universe. No one could help him. And so finally he went to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, he tricked his Vikasura. Oh, Lord Shiva's benedictions, blessings, they never work. You don't trust them. No, he gave. He gave. He said. He is true to his word. No, you can't trust Lord Shiva. He's, and then there's a whole description in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Krishna book also. So just, if you don't believe me, just test it. Test the benediction. Test it. Did you test it yet? No, I didn't test. Well, just test it on yourself then. Then he was so foolish, so less intelligent person, he just went like that, boom, on his own head, and boom, his head blew into a million pieces. And so in this way he was killed. So I remember doing that play, and we did like that. We I was like this, and I was putting my head, and then I fell back, and then we may had one cabbage. We painted all, we had one cabbage painted all red and different blood colour and everything like that, and we had it all pieces, and we threw the pieces inside. So that was the head exploding. And so this is very good, and the children were all screaming. Ah. And so, but anyway, the point is there. And then, of course, Lord Vishnu, he instructed Lord Shiva, be careful what benedictions you give to these different individuals. He also said many times to Lord Brahma, he said also, be careful, you want to give the benediction, be careful, because these are asuras. And they, you get the benediction and they want to abuse and do all sorts of destruction things. So just be careful in the future. So Kashyapa knew that this was a very bad thing that she wanted, and he blamed himself for, the whole situation. He was like that. And so, but at the same time, you probably read earlier that he thought that, let me somehow or other make it in such a way, let her do one yagya, one ritual, that simultaneously she will worship the Lord Vishnu. And I believe this Pumsavana ritual is meant for actually ultimately satisfying Lord Vishnu, and so many mantras are chanted and so many things are observed and so on and so forth. We're reading some of them here. And so his idea, all right, she can do it. Let's see if she can follow everything, because there's so many requirements for following this ritual. She has to do, I think, for the whole month, isn't it? For a whole month, 1 month, whether she can do. And he warned her, actually, that if you don't follow, there can be a very disastrous result. If you follow everything nicely, and at the simultaneously, and she's worshipping Lord Vishnu, so maybe she will be purified. So he was thinking like that. Simultaneously, she'd fulfill her desire. She'll be very happy, at least in the meantime. She'll be thinking, I'm very happy. I'm getting what I want. And so, long term, she's doing this for one whole month, and she's worshipping the Lord by different mantra and different procedure. So he was thinking like that. And so now he's giving some prescription, as also mentioned in the previous verses. Don't be violent, don't cause harm to others. In other words, one has to come to worship the Lord nicely, and one has to come and live the life in the mode of goodness to be able to worship the Lord nicely. And so many things to be followed. Now, in life, generally we have the Vana and Ashrama, just like we have in life. Now, there's two paths to be followed generally in the life. One is called Svadharma, and the other one is called Sanatan Dharma. Svadharma means, what is the prescribed duty for your Vana and your Ashrama? This is very prescribed method given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead right in the beginning of the creation. Chatuvanyam maya shrishtam guna kamibhaka. Tatsikatanam apibam vidyikatanam avyam. Krishna says, and you can read in Bhagavad Gita, I am the creator of this system of the Vana and the Ashrama. And so if one follows very nicely according to their nature, because the modes of nature, there's mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, and mixing also. So some people will be more mode of goodness with some passion, some will be more mode of passion, some will be more mode of ignorance. So according to your nature, according to the qualities, the gunas, then you will have a certain Vana. And not necessarily your birth, but we have to see your qualities. You may be born in a high Brahmin family or aristocratic family, but then we have to see your qualities after you're born. Just because you're born the son of the judge doesn't mean automatically you're judge. We have to see if you take the training and so on and so forth. You can't. No one is going to pronounce he is the son is also the judge. No. Can't be automatically like that. Now, some are claiming just by the birth, and you cannot be Brahmin, and maybe in your next life you can come back if you do things nicely. But not like that. Krishna says according to the guna and the karma, the modes, the qualities and the activities, qualities and activities, then it is judged. But anyway, so everyone has their prescribed duties, Svadharma, and of course Sanatana Dharma, is your eternal spiritual activities, just like we have in devotional service. We have especially Bhagavad Dharma. Now, in our Krishna consciousness, so we follow the two sides. We follow the Bhagavad Dharma and we follow the Panchatriki Dharma, and as given specially by Narad Muni in the Samadhi Pancharatras, initially explained by the Lord to Lord Brahma over the five nights to summarize everything. But then it has been expanded. So many Pancharatras as such, and so Narada is given very nice. So in order to help the aspiring devotee to help situate their lifestyle in the mode of goodness, which helps your spiritual activities, these regulations are given. And then your Sanatana Dharma, your spiritual activities. Ultimately, at the end of the life, they'll only, you're going on the Sanatana Dharma and the Svadharma becomes less. If one is liberated, then there'll only be Sanatana Dharma. Your eternal spiritual activities will continue on forever. But so everyone has got their Vana and the Ashram, and there's prescribed duties in each one. What is their duties for the? There will be general duties for all in the system of Vana and Ashrama. It'll be general duties for all. But then more specific, the Brahmanas have prescribed duties, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, the Sudra, all will have some prescribed duties. And then if you're like that, you have to, it is expected you are to follow. If you want to be elevated in the human form of life and go upwards instead of going downwards to the animal, and very easily you can go down. If you act like animal, your qualities like animal, then you will be animal in the next life. Simple mathematical formula. You act like animal, qualities like animal, in the next life you'll be animal. You like to eat all meat and flesh and blood, then your human body is not meant, you go and be a tiger or something like that. That it likes to eat the meat, flesh and blood. So God will arrange. So instead of going down, you can go up. Now, the going up means vana and ashram. So generally for the most people, vana and ashram. And so here we see Kasyapa is giving some directions to his wife, what not to do. There is a what to do and then what not to do. So here he's saying, don't go out in the street without having washed your mouth, hands and feet. Of course, you know, from the hygienic point of view, you know, in the Western countries, maybe this is not so much. Hardly anyone washes their mouth out after eating in the Western culture, isn't it? In the Western culture. And even now in Indian culture is becoming more. They don't follow these things. But even for hygienically, especially, you know, we just had the COVID, of course it's still there, but we knew, you know, how much the health professionals were pushing on these things, and because how everything can spread so quickly. You don't wash your hands properly, you don't wash your mouth properly. All these things are just hygienic and cleanliness. And so it's very well known. So they were pushing on that because practically before, hardly anyone was doing. After eating, after, you know, putting things in your mouth, and, you know, after going to the bathroom, then you have to wash yourself. Now, here also, so this is hygienic. It also puts one... Now, cleanliness is next to the godliness. This is an old saying. Cleanliness is next. So when one is clean in so many ways, washing the body, Prabhupada says in the 12th... it's said in the 12th canto that... Prabhupada one time said that to be clean in the Kali Yuga, as the Kali Yuga goes... progresses, that'll be a very revolutionary thing. People think you are a crazy fellow if you are just saying, well, you have to wash your mouth after eating. Oh, you're a crazy fellow. What is this? You have to wash your hands after going to the bathroom. What for? What is a crazy thing? But so people will be thinking like that. It's just someone who says like that is a crazy fellow. It'll be a very revolutionary thing to take the bath. One devotee told me he was from cold country. He said we used to take bath once a week. We didn't take every day bath, just once a week. That's not very good for hygiene, not very good for your health. I said, but somehow or other it was too cold to take a bath, and they were more poor family, so they also cost money, so they didn't take any bath, just a bath. Once a week. So actually, according to Shastra, and also Prabhupada was very strong on this, but always remain clean. Clothes clean. Prabhupada was what we call paka. Paka means very suchi. Paka means like first class paka. And suchi, very suchi. He would wear clean clothes all the time. You know, he would have, when he have a bath, he'd change his cloth. We saw he'd change his clothes, like he'd have his bath in the afternoon, he would wear new clothes again. This is Brahmana level. This is what's Brahmana level. You know, Brahmana level is a high level of all these things. And so Prabhupada was like that, high level. And always clean, washing the mouth. And also mentioned here, interestingly, washing the feet. Now we know after walking in the old days, they used to just walk everywhere, sometimes barefoot, so before you go in the house, you wash your feet. That's just. Or now we take off our shoes, but in the Western culture, take off your shoes. What for? You know, because you're walking outside, or maybe all sorts of dogs still, everything. You're going to walk inside with the shoes. It's crazy fellow saying like that. We don't take the shoes off. But in many cultures, in Japan culture, Asian culture, so many culture, Indian culture, so many culture, they take the shoes off. They don't go inside with shoes. If they have shoes inside, it's just shoes for inside. You can do like that, you know. So this is all clean. So clean body, clean clothes, taking regular shower. For it is said for the grihasta, at least one shower bath daily for the grihasta, and for the brahmachari, at least two. Must be two, morning and night. It said for the sannyasi, must be three. Always very clean. So cleaning the body, cleaning the clothes, all clean clothes. You have the shower, you put dirty clothes again. What's the use? Right, so cleaning the body. And also you feel much, much better after washing and everything like that, isn't it? The health is improved. And of course, you know, in the beginning days as young brahmachari, we used to take cold showers here. And I remember here, or even before here in the previous temple, we were taking the cold, in the middle of, you all know, in Melbourne in the middle of winter, very cold. But the brahmachari, Hare Krishna, we will run down cold shower. I knew the trick, you have to put the shower on very hard, so then it's like a waterfall. And then the strength just numbs you to the cold. So we used to, for many years, many, many years, we used to. And actually, later on, we found out that it's very good for the health. Very good for the health if you can take, you know, you go and you take the cold. It gets the whole circulation going very quickly. Of course, for Prabhupada, we had the warm water. He said, I am old man. That would be like shock for me. Maybe I'll die. So maybe the old people, someone sick. But these days, of course, we don't push on that point. We have all different facilities. But, you know, these things were done. These things were done. So here we see, he's saying to her, don't go out without what.
As that's concerned. And so their hair is always nicely kept, not just loose and looking wild, because when you look like that, you attract the attentions of the bhutas. And there's witches also. Witches are very looking like that. They're looking like that. So if you go looking like that, you attract their attention, they come there. Oh, he's one of us. So there's all sorts of subtle things going on, especially if you go at the wrong time and also, and you're not dressed properly, unclean state. This attracts the attention of the subtle beings, especially in the mode of ignorance. Not only that, it attracts the attention of other human beings in the mode of ignorance.
Now, one has to cultivate mode of goodness. So whether you're at home or whether you're going out, especially you're going out in the public, you have to show the mode of goodness. So he wanted her to stay in the mode of goodness while performing this ritual for the whole month. You have to stay in the mode of goodness and don't do these things. Don't go out in the evening and at a certain time in the Sandhya periods. Don't wear nice clothing, sufficiently covered, representing the goddess of fortune. Prabhupada makes a point here about in the Oriental civilizations, they cover themselves up and you don't even know, you know, what they look like. This is in some culture, in Muslim culture is the same. They cover, what is that, burqa, and they're covering, what is that, the veil they have, is it? You don't even see their face. So that is another thing. You know, one can go to that length even. Of course, all these rituals are there. Now, Prabhupada does make the point here that when one is in Krishna consciousness, it's not so essential to follow all these things because one is automatically already following nice regulations as I said, Panchatriki Marg and Bhagavat Marg. And also they're chanting Hare Krishna mantra just like the devotees chant. They're being purified. Now, what's mentioned here, now in the washing of the hands, if you're in Brahmana especially, it's still being done, especially I see in the South Indian Brahmins, Tamil Brahmins and all the South Indian Brahmins, some of them are very strict. And when they, after eating, they wash their mouths, they wash their hands, they wash their feet, and then they chant mantras. They chant mantras to please the demigods, to please Lord Vishnu, because actually it is considered that eating is just for yourself. It is a gratification. So to purify yourself from that gratification, the strict Brahmins, they would wash everything and they would chant mantras facing in certain directions. You know, the certain directions you have to face, chant some mantras, and with your head bowed like this. So then all these rituals are there. But now Prabhupada makes the point here that for a devotee, we don't have to worry so much about these things. But of course a devotee also knows, and why don't we have to worry? Because we're in the Krishna consciousness and we're pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. So there's no need to separately please the different devas. They are automatically pleased because they are also parts and parcels of God, and they are also worshipping God. So when God is pleased, they are pleased. So no need to separately. So if we are worshipping God, your chanting is on, then the devotee is always chanting. So no need to separately chant mantras at the time of after eating, after the time of the, you know, after the Brahmins, after they go to the bath, they also chant mantras. After they bathe everything, they chant some mantras to purify themselves. So many things you could do, unlimited amounts. One time someone said to Prabhupada, he went away from the Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada said, why you went away? Oh, Prabhupada, I think there's too many rules. No. The problem was you stopped chanting very nicely, and actually there's not so many. If I were to tell you all the rules, you would just faint. What is all the rules? I give you just some of the rules that Rupa Goswami has summarized in Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, isn't it? The Nectar of Devotion. It's just summarized. I think Banu Maharaj has done more translation of the bigger ones. So Hari Bhakti Vila, so many shastras are there, Dharma shastras, and so many shastras. There's so many rules to follow. And that's for the people in the world, and they're following a Varnashrama, and they're trying to elevate themselves. It's very nice. As much as they can do is very beneficial. They're going to elevate. But one who comes to be Vaishnava, and one who is very serious devotee, sincere devotee, sticking in Krishna consciousness, then they don't have to worry about all these things so much. We're very lucky that we can just do the chanting. Just simple thing. Just chanting. How much benefit there can be. It's so powerful. So powerful. You don't have to worry after you eat. And the other thing is that after you eat, what are you eating? It's Krishna prasadam. Krishna prasad. So it's not your honoring Krishna prasad is the mercy of the Lord. It's not just ordinary food. So, you know, the people will take ordinary food, they have to wash everything, do some mantra, and think they have to purify themselves after eating. So, but we're eating the Krishna prasad. So, different situation. Different situation. After eating, of course, for health and for keeping clean, we're also washing the mouth. We're also washing the hands. We also, you know, if you can wash the feet. But, you know, sometimes not possible in the cold climates. You know, you have to take the socks and the shoes. You have to wash the feet, put it again. It's not always practical. But nevertheless, as much as possible, at least hands and mouth and hands, very, very important. And put you in the mode of goodness. And so we follow some things. So as mentioned here, as far as dressing, we don't have to worry about what is the fashion of the day. Just like I'm just wearing same clothes every day. I remember one young boy, he said to me, "Maj, don't you ever change your clothes?" Of course, because he saw me same clothes every day, he thought I must be wearing same clothes. I said, "Yes, I'm wearing the similar, but they are being washed. I have many different sets." So then one is used as washing, and then you take the other one, and so on. So I had to explain. But in his mind, oh yeah, Marge must be wearing same clothes all the time. But then it's one good thing, though, you know, before you're a devotee, you have to worry about the fashion. Or in the fashion, you have to spend so much money on clothes. Oh, it's unbelievable. You can spend half your wages on clothes. And just, this thing is a fashion from 5 years before. If I go like out wearing this thing, everyone, the lady, the girls will laugh. Oh, hey, you're wearing the old fashion. You know, they're laughing. You keep your hair different. No one's wearing their hair like that. You're old fashioned. They're all laughing. Well, we don't have to worry, because when we dress, we're dressing as devotees. We're dressing as devotees. And when we dress, we're representing our guru, and we're representing Radha and Krishna. So we dress as devotees. So we remind ourselves we are devotees, and we're representing them, so we dress ourselves very nicely. So one should always look very nice as a devotee. So that's the reason there. So we, you know, just like Kashyapa Muni, he's saying that you should look very nice. You should be very reserved, very grave. Now, grave means, if you look in the Nectar of Ocean, means not just with sullen face, although it can be like that. It means you're just focusing on, you're not talking prajalpa, you're not talking nonsense. That's being grave, actually. So when one goes out, the ladies are very reserved. And so, you know, it's a tapasya. It's a tapasya, but you're doing it for your elevation, in a short-term suffering, you could say, short-term austerity, but long-term benefit. Others, they want short-term, enjoying and continuing as long as possible, although it comes and goes all the time. So we are doing it just for our own purification. So he's saying this to his wife. Of course, in those times, she's a wife of the Brahmana. She had to be very careful when she went out. Don't break any of these things. Sufficiently covered. Prabhupada talks about the fashion, the mini skirts, or whatever the fashion is for men. We don't have to worry these things. Ladies don't have to worry. What is the latest fashion? Just on a practical level, as I said, it takes away so much anxiety. Don't have to spend so much money. And then the men, of course. Men generally don't care so much about what is the fashion, but nevertheless, we can just wear the dhoti and coat. Of course, if you're going to work, and then you have to wear appropriate clothing. So that is that's your svadharma. But generally speaking, as dress as devotee, that is so nice. So Prabhupada, again on this point, he stresses that when one becomes devotee, he says if one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is fully purified. These are all meant, all these things that Kashyapa is saying, they're meant to purify her so she can do this yajna. But if one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is fully purified, and then one always remains transcendental to the contamination of the material. Because if you're living in the world, you're going to be contaminated so many ways, so therefore you have to do these purificatory things. But if you're always in the Krishna consciousness, you'll always be purified and you'll always be transcendental, you'll be unaffected. It's like an antiseptic thing. Antibiotic thing, you take that thing as like an immune thing, and so. But you have to stay in the Krishna consciousness. If you go out, then again it will come in. So if we stay in the Krishna consciousness, we don't have to worry about these other things, because they're quite onerous. As I said, there are many thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of things you could do for the ritual, but luckily in Krishna consciousness, And who can do all these rituals? There are some who are very strong, and they may be in India, some good Brahmins, that's very good, they are very strict. But even them, they are doing everything, and they do something wrong, then there can be some reaction. So better to take up the Krishna conscious path. This will put you on the high level with just a very simple thing. All right, I'll read this verse again. Nochishta sprishta salila sanjayam mukta murdaja anacha tasamyata vak nasamvita bahischarit. After eating, you should not go out to the street without having washed your mouth, hands and feet. You should not go out in the evening or with your hair loose, nor should you go out unless you are properly decorated with ornaments. You should not leave the house unless you are very grave and are sufficiently covered. Maybe we've got enough time for one question. I went a little bit over today. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. So we see that in our Krishna consciousness also there are so many rules and regulations. I mean, whatever minimum is there. After some time it feels like, you know, these rules and regulations become very mechanical and superficial, and it's not getting anywhere. We're not getting able to correlate what we want to achieve and why we are doing what. So how do we keep up motivation?
Well, you know, as I said, Bhagavat Marg and Panchatriki Marg, and all the rules and regulations are there, and then, you know, you have your books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and all the, these are there to help you stay in the mode of goodness. And so, yeah, definitely, they're like a more mechanical means to regulate your body and your mind and so on. But it will become mechanical unless you're chanting. And that's what Prabhupada said to that devotee. Now, the problem was your chanting went down, or you weren't chanting properly. You know, you weren't chanting, your chanting is not very high-level chanting. Maybe you're chanting, keeping offences, maybe you're doing so many different things, not attentive chanting, neglecting things. So then if you're feeling very mechanical, because these things will always be there, all the rules and regulations, you have to, but when you're in the nicely getting the paramdishtva, by the chanting and seva and all these activities, then the higher tastes so high that these rules, they seem insignificant, you won't even notice them, because you're getting such taste. So if you're, the rules and regulations, which are mechanical things, and that means you have to increase on the other side of your Sanatana or your Bhagavat Marg as devotees follow the Bhagavad. You're hearing, the chanting, remembering, all these serving, seva is very important. You have to increase, and the quality has to increase also. So then you have to just analyze, what am I not doing that I could do a lot better, you know. You have to analyze and then increase. And you can increase the quantity, or you can and increase the quality. And so this will be very helpful. And you'll find after time, if you're just patient, you'll find that you'll start again. But sometimes when we commit offence especially, it may be that we're feeling a little bit down in our devotional service because of that offence. And you know, there's one story I told, where was it I told in Canberra, that there's one story of Rupa Goswami. He was sitting in his bhajan kirti, and a sage passed by. Now, he was sitting in deep absorption thinking of Radha Krishna, and he was thinking of a funny pastime that Radha and Krishna had, and he was laughing. Now, this sage was walking past. He walked a little bit funny because of he had some disability. So the sage thought that he was laughing at him, so he felt offended, but he didn't say anything, and he went. And so later on, Rupa Goswami, he spoke to his brother, Sanatana, and he said, you know, I'm feeling my ecstasy in devotion is not the same as usual. I feel it has gone down. What is the cause? What is your opinion of the cause? Well, maybe you committed offence or something like that, and knowingly or unknowingly, you did something. So then Rupa Goswami devised a plan. He said, I'm going to have a big festival feast, and with nice prasad, and I'll invite everyone in the area to this. I'll pay special attention who doesn't come. Who doesn't come? So then he saw that there was one who didn't come there. So then he thought, maybe I committed some offence against him. And so then he went there and he begged forgiveness. He didn't know what, and of course, yeah, that was accepted by it. And then after that, because he rectified the situation, then he began to feel his former ecstasy as was before. So sometimes we're not feeling, it may be a reaction, And you read in the Shastras, this is up to the Lord. He gives the reaction. And it's up to the Lord's will how long you get the reaction. So it could be a combination that, it could be a combination you're just neglectful, you're not quality is not so good, so yeah, or it could be all these things. So you, and then you have to increase that side. And then the mechanical things won't seem so mechanical anymore. All right, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai, nitya gaur premanande, Hare Hare Bol.